Good. We're at chapter 13 of the book of Judges. Right. So let's just pray, shall we? And ask the Lord to guide us. It's a wonderful passage in some ways. It starts off really good. This is a good thing, isn't it? So Lord, thank you for your word and your work in people's lives, Lord, that you can overcome sadness, sorrow, disappointments, fears, and all of those things, Lord, to bring your blessings. And so we're here tonight, Lord, to ask you to bless us as we read your word. Thank you, Father, for it. It's in our language, Lord. We thank you for the translations, those who worked hard to try and help us to understand what it says and means. So, Lord, help us, we pray now, in Jesus' name. Well, in chapter 12, we were looking at Jephthah and how he sorted out the Ephraimites from the rest. Do you remember how he did it? With the Shibboleth. Whether they pronounced it Shibboleth or Sibboleth, right? Right. Well, in fact, we can do the same with you tonight in chapter 13. We can tell whether you're an English speaker or a Hebrew speaker. Because how do you pronounce the name of the boy that it's about? What do you call his name?
Samson.
Samson. So you're English. Because do you know how they pronounce his name in Hebrew? I don't suppose you do. It's Shimshon. Shimshon. Not Samson. Shimshon.
Right?
It's then S's and then S's and H's. Yeah? Yes. Did I practice that? Yeah, well, the reason I mentioned that is just not to catch you out, but there's another reason. Let's get this out of the way.
That's what Rachel was doing.
Right, it's... The reason I mentioned that is because there's a bit of a question mark about what his name means. That's what I'm getting at. The Hebrew word for son is Shemesh. If you're aware of Hebrew, it's the consonants that matter. The S-H-M-S-H. Yeah? Shemesh and Samson's got S-H-M-S-H. And there's an N at the end of it. Yeah. Okay, so something, his name means sonny, right? From the word son. Shemesh, Shimshon, sonny. So that's a possible meaning of his name, right? And in a way, it fits his character. He's a bit of a bright spark in a way, isn't he? Right. There's another meaning that some Jewish historians, a guy called Josephus is one of them, and he described his name as meaning powerful. Well, that's quite a possible description of his name. It depends on how you derive the word Shimshon, where it comes from. Yeah. Anyway, we'll leave that at that, and we're going to read chapter, 13? Chapter 13 of Judges. Right. This is a depressing line. We've come across this too many times. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Yeah? Isn't that terrible? You'd think they'd learn, wouldn't you? I mean, but why don't they learn? And this is the reason. It's an important lesson for you, young man, as well, is every single generation has to experience God for themselves. You can't live on the faith of the previous generation. And what happens is God does something for them, great, right? And then the next generation go, oh, well, can't bother, right? And after that, they lose the plot and they finish up doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. And when they do evils in the eyes of the Lord, they're asking for trouble. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. This is the longest time in the book of Judges we read about an oppressive power having control of the Israelites. And they really took them to the cleaners, did the Philistines. And it wasn't until after the book of Judges, in the time of Samuel, that the Philistines begin to have their power broken. And ultimately, the one who finally finished off the Philistines was the guy with the sling, David. Yeah. But that's a long time coming. So we've got a start of it in the time of the book of Judges with Samson. Right? One other thing that's to be said is that we will see at the end of the book of the passage on Samson that he was a judge in Israel for 20 years. Right? So he appears in the middle of the Philistine problem. Philistines have been giving him some trouble, and then Samson becomes active, grown up and active in the middle of it for 20 years. So he begins when there was a really significant problem for the Israelites in the history of the Israelites, at the time of Eli the priest. It's all background, I'm afraid, this, but yeah, when Eli was the priest, he had two sons, They were rotters, absolutely useless they were. Nasty bunch of lads, yeah? Supposed to be helping him in the ministry, and they were more hindrance than help. So, what happens was that the Philistines come and attack, and these lads decide what we need a good luck charm, we'll get the ark, take out the ark, into battle, and the Philistines have had it. Right, so that's what they do, and what happens is, the Philistines capture the ark, and the two lads get killed. And the Philistines capture the ark, and then God makes them thoroughly sick of it. That's another story. Yeah. Yeah. But for the next 20 years, that's the end bit of Samson's time, yeah? During the next 20 years, the ark is left at a place called Kiriath Jearim, I believe, and it's just neglected. But then God sends a revival through Samuel. But that's a long time coming. We've got to go back in time to the start of Samson's life. Right, okay, so they did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and the Philistines oppressed them for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah, named Manoah, from the clan of the Danites, had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. So here's this man, a couple, married couple, and they're getting on in years as well. But I don't know about you, but to me, you know, it's easy to read these words. Yeah, it says he had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. Mm. Just think how many tears those few words convey. Yeah. Years of disappointment. I mean, they must have got married young and thinking, oh, we'll start a family and it'll all be hunky-dory, like every other Israelite young couple thought. And then, no kids. And then as time went on, not possible. No kids. And for them, that was sad. No family, you know. No family, no future. Just felt empty. So, those few words convey a lot. And the thing I want to bring out, the really important lesson to me is this, you know, it's not over till it's over. And God steps in at very much like a late hour and does something completely remarkable for them. And, you know, don't be disappointed when things don't work out immediately, because God has his ways of making things okay in the long run. So, and these were people of faith. That's the good news, yeah? So there's this man called Manoah, and it tells us he's from a particular tribe that he's in, and his family, no family, just his dear wife, and they were a happy couple. It would seem, from what we see of their relationship, they're a nice couple. They get on well together, yeah, which is good. I've read Matthew Henry's commentary, and he makes a lovely comment at the end of this chapter. He says, "Oh, you woman of faith." He's really, really taken with her. She's a great girl. And I don't know if I know her name even, but we'll find out. Let's have a look, see how it goes. Yeah? So, verse 3. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, now then, who's the angel of the Lord?
Jesus.
It's Jesus before Jesus was born. Because Jesus was born human, but he was God before he became man. Right? So he was around before. But he took on the form of an angel, we call him the angel of the Lord, but they just saw him as a person. She saw him as a man, yeah, as you'll see. She just thought he was a man to start with, yes. But the interesting thing is, she gets the impression this is a man who knows a few things, because the angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are sterile and childless." How about that? Never met her before, and all of a sudden, he starts talking about a very personal thing in her life that I don't suspect she'd talk too much to people about. Right? But he said that about her. What's that telling her?
He knows all about her.
He knows all about her. Right? But Jesus did that with the woman at the well. It's what do we call it in New Testament terms? There's a word of knowledge, we call it. It's the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's obviously God here, but the Holy Spirit can give you some information that nobody knows except the person, so that they know that God's talking to them. Yeah? Right, so that's what's going on here. So she knows that this person could be a prophet. That's what she's thinking, yeah? He's got information from God that only God could know. And so it's God's going to be telling her a few things. And he says this, "You are sterile and childless." Now that's important. Sterile is a pretty bleak state to be in, yeah? Childless is one thing, but sterile is even worse. Mm. She can't have children. It's not that she doesn't have children. She can't have children. But he says, "But..." Do you like God's buts? I like God's buts. Yeah, they can change everything. "But you are going to conceive and have a son." Yeah? How about that?
Yeah.
What would you think? Right. Now, there's something, I think God moves in amazing ways. There's something wonderful about this little story. I mean, it's a true myth, yeah? But it's this. How many times in the plan of God has God taken a lady who can't have kids in order to have a kid to fulfill his big plan? So. Happens all the time. Yeah? John the Baptist, before Jesus came. Yeah? And then there's Abraham. Yeah? And Sarah. Yeah? So, and Rebecca and Isaac. And Isaac, is it? Rebecca and Jacob. No, Rebecca and Isaac, isn't it? Yes. And then Jacob and Rachel. Yeah? So, you know, you could say there was a genetic problem in the family, a problem of sterility. Maybe so. But whatever it was, yeah, God's using the unlikely, the impossible, to do the absolutely amazing. Yeah? Right. So, you're sterile and you're childless, but you're going to conceive and have a son. Now then, how did she react? Come on, tell me, what do you think she thought?
You must be joking.
You must be joking. There's a man of faith for you, you see. Yeah? You must be joking. Now then, he was what Zachariah was like in John the Baptist's mum and dad, you know? Zachariah, when he was confronted by the angel, it was Angel Gabriel this time though, different, just an angel, yeah? Angel Gabriel says, I've heard your prayers, you've been praying about this, I've heard your prayers, God says, I've heard your prayers, and you're going to have a son, and you're going to call him John. And he said, no. Yeah, more or less, yeah? Right? And God, the angel says to him, you've said enough now, boy, you're going to be stoned for the next 9 months until the baby arrives. Yeah?
I think it depends on her expectancy and preparation of the woman.
Yes.
Because after all, she was holding up that she didn't know that she was sterile, or he didn't know what the problem was.
No.
Like today.
Well, that's true. Yes. She wouldn't have had the doctor give her a full diagnosis, would he?
Yeah. So it depends. You know, yeah. She could have been shocked, or she could have thought, yeah. Thank goodness for that.
Right. Well, now,
sort of.
Yes. Let me take you back to Isaac and Abraham. Right. Yes. Abraham is getting very old. His wife Sarah is past childbearing, and the angel of the same person, angel of the Lord, comes to their tent and says to Abraham, "Next year, I'll be back, and you'll have a baby boy."
Yeah.
Right. And Sarah is listening with a cup at the door.
Yeah, she
will. You know, to hear what's going on. And the Lord says to her, he says, why did you laugh? And why did she laugh? She thought, no. Yeah? Right? The Lord says, she says, I didn't laugh. He says, yes, you did. Right? But he challenged her, and I think in his challenge, it sparked something in her heart. And she probably thought, maybe he's right.
Huh?
Yeah? Faith begins to grow. And next year, they've got a little boy, and what do they call him? They call him Laffy. That's what Isaac means.
Yeah.
Laffy. Yeah. It's a good name for him, isn't it? Yeah. So, he laughs. Yes. Okay, anyway, all of that background is all part of the story for this couple. They knew about Abraham, they knew about Isaac and all of these things, yeah? So, of course, they're their ancestors. So she, I think she believed. I do think she believed, yeah? So, and he says, you're going to have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth. And he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. So the angel of the Lord gives her instructions about what she's to do before she has the child, and when she's had the child. Yeah? Because it says he's going to be a Nazarite. What's a Nazarite?
Nazarene.
A Nazarene. It's not that he comes from Nazareth. No, that's different. But did she know about Nazarites?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, because it's in the Old Testament bit that she had, of the book of Moses, in Leviticus. It tells you about a Nazarite. Normally, a Nazarite was a person who made a promise to God and dedicated himself or herself to God for a period of time, and then after that period of time they offered some sacrifice for them. But in this occasion God says he's a Nazarite from the day he starts to the day he finishes. Right? It's a whole life thing, this one. So he's going to be dedicated to God for the whole of his life. Would that he kept it. But that's another story, as we'll get to, yes? So the thing is, what he has to do, or what she has to do, is see that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, or do not eat anything unclean. Well, I don't suppose she did eat anything unclean, but what he's getting at is that there are certain foods that you have to avoid, yeah? And the drink, the wine, she could have drunk wine normally, but as a Nazarite, that's not allowed, yeah? Right? Why does the Lord tell her that she's not to do these things?
Because
she's going to have a baby, right? And I think the Lord's protecting the baby, but there's more to it than that. That right from the beginning of his conception and growth inside her, yeah, he is set apart, right? So he doesn't take any of that stuff before he's born, and then on to when he's born and grows up, yeah? And so she's making sure he's a Nazarite from the word go. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I find pretty amazing, Dennis, is that she takes that all in and then he gives her instructions.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
She takes...
Straight off, all the things are there, yeah. Right, now, there's something... I know it's just a little bit of a background thought, but there's something amazing about this passage, yeah? God knows, yeah, that babies can be affected by what mum eats and drinks. How about that? That took scientists a long time to work that one out, you know? But God knows. Yeah. And he told her, you know, what you do will affect your baby. So, here he is, yeah? And then it says, he's not going to have his hair cut. No razor will be used on his head because the boy is to be a Nazarite. So he's going to have long hair, right? Does that mean to say he walked around like a hippie when he was growing up? Yeah? No. It was gathered into... ringlets, they tied them together into bands.
Seven
tails. Okay, so, but it was a sign, of his commitment to God. That's what it was about, yeah? And it's an important sign, as you'll see. Right, next then, please, where do we go? Right, yeah. He will begin the deliverance. He will begin the deliverance of Israel. So he's not going to finish the job, but he's going to be part of the process by which God fixes the Philistines. Yeah, right. So, then the woman went to her husband and told him, because she's on her own when the angel appears. Yeah. Then the woman went to her husband and told him, a man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God. Very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, you will conceive and give birth to a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from birth until the day of his death. So she goes home and tells him everything that she's seen and heard. And she describes this person as very awesome. not surprising, yes, but there. Made quite an impression. But she tells him all these details. Why does she tell him?
Because they're husbands.
Because he's her husband. She's her husband.
She's excited.
I'm sure she's excited. You can't keep good news to yourself, can you? So she tells him, hey, we've got some fantastic news here. So pass it on. Right. That's what good news is for, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pass it on. Right. Then Manoah, sorry?
She needed his participation.
Well, exactly, yes. They're in this together, of course. But yeah, it's great. She's told him. So then Manoah prayed to the Lord. O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born. Is that lovely? He asked God to let him see as well. It's nice to have it sort of in stereo, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah? He says, I'm a believer. Yeah, I'm not questioning, you know, but you, Lord, let me hear it as well. Yeah, so he prays to the Lord. Always good to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So he prays, and what happens? Right. Lovely verse. Verse 9. God heard Manoah.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
That he listens.
God doesn't just listen. Yeah. When he says God heard, it means he's not only listening, he's going to do something.
Yeah.
Because God can hear anything and everything. He hears all the lot, yeah? But when God hears, it means he's taken notice and he's going to do something. And so he heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field.
On her own.
On her own again. Right? But her husband Manoah was not with her. Why does he do that? Why does the angel of the Lord not wait till they're both out somewhere?
Because it's for the wife to know, is it?
I don't know. I'm just getting... What do you think?
Because he lets her do all the work.
He lets her do all the work in the field. Well, he may be working at home doing the cooking.
Maybe.
Oh, well, or doing something. I don't know.
Yeah. I think he is.
Why does the angel appear to her?
Because it was for her.
It was for her, yeah.
No, someone had one God's fixture, it's for you, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's that she's going to tell her husband. She calls him, yeah?
Yes, you know.
So, you know, she's been sent by the angel to call her husband, right? So it's sort of respecting him, in that sense, I think. That's what it's about. Yeah. So
two things struck me. The fact that she's a sterile woman, obviously she's so excited by this, she's in awe. But also, when she went back to him, he must have loved her so much, because it was just the fact the child they were concentrating on.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted. Because he didn't say, oh, he said, you were sterile then, weren't me.
Exactly, no place for recrimination.
They'd obviously been so in love.
The focus is on the child. They're a lovely couple. Yeah. That's really nice. Yeah. So, what happens is, she is there, and the woman hurries to tell her husband, he's here, the man who appeared to me the other day. Right, so he drops everything, I'll guarantee that. Yeah, whatever he was doing, if he was on his iPad or whatever it was, drop the lot, we're going to see the angel of the Lord.
He still waited then.
Right.
The Lord still waited, didn't he?
Yes, the Lord stayed there. So Manoah got up and followed his wife. Yeah. Lovely comment by Matthew Henry here. He says this is a contrast between Adam and Eve, right? Adam followed his wife in the wrong direction. And Manoah followed his wife in the right direction. Yeah. She's leading him where it good should be. Yes. So, right, here we go. So, he follows her, and they find the place where he is. When he came to the man, he said, are you the one who talked to my wife? Right. Is it you then? I am, he said. Very good. Well, yes. So Manoah asked him, when your words are fulfilled, what's that mean? He believes it. Yeah. He believes it. When your words are, not if, yeah, but when your words, that's how our translation's taking that, yeah? When your words are fulfilled, when this happens, what do we do? Right, so he says that. When this has happened, what will be the role for the boy's life and work? So he's been told how to, she's been told what to do to start off, right, the bit about the hair business, but he's then told, he wants to know, how do we take, how do we make him, raise him up, yes? And the angel of the Lord answered, your wife must do all that I told her. Right? So that's the first part, yeah? She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink any wine or other fermented drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I commanded her. Well, all he's doing is repeating what he said already. What about the rest of bringing up the lad? Why doesn't he tell him that?
Because he'd be a Jew, he knows what
to do. It's in the book. It's in the book. Yes. It's all in the book of Moses, you know. How to bring up kids. What do? You talk about the Lord. You show them the Lord. You live ways that should be pleasing to the Lord. And instruct them in the ways of the Lord. So that's all there already, yeah?
But he doesn't say he's to be a Nazarite.
He doesn't. Well, that's because he's the definition of Nazarite is he's not to touch all this stuff, basically. Right. Yeah? Okay. So Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, we would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you. Mm. What's that about?
Hospitality.
It's hospitality. Yeah, Middle Eastern hospitality is when a stranger turns up, you welcome them in. Yes. Isn't that funny, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah? But that's what we should do, isn't it, Ed? Mm. Right? And so he says, look, we'd like to prepare a meal for you. That's what he's talking about, yeah? We'd like to prepare a young goat for you. That would take a while, won't it? You know?
It's very frustrating when people want to feed you and then they sit you down and they go off and start buying stuff and start cooking.
Yeah, you know about this, yes.
You have to wait.
You've waited
for ages.
Patience. You've got to be patient. Hospitality is about not just eating, you know. It's about being made welcome.
Yeah, I know when Edwin, I think it was when he went to Israel, they went and cooked, the woman went and got the duck and plucked it and everything and started from there.
Right. Okay. Just to pass on a little joke for you, there was a Sunday school exam about questions about the story, Bible story they'd been studying. And it was about the parable of the lost son, you know, the lad that finished up in the pigsty and then eventually worked his way home to the father's house. And the question was, who was disappointed when the son came home? And the answer is to be the elder brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? But they wrote the fatted calf. Yes. Anyway, there you are. They've got something ready for him anyway. The little goat. Yes. Okay. So they are. They've got this meal ready for the Lord. Yeah. I lost my place.
16.
Thank you. Right. Yeah. The angel of report. The angel of the Lord replied, even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord. Manoah did not yet realize that it was the angel of the Lord. So, the angel of the Lord says, no, I shan't eat. That's not him being awkward and off-putting. He's just saying, no, we won't do that. I'm not eating this, but if you want to prepare it, we'll offer it to the Lord. That's fine. Yeah. So he's, you don't have to agree with everybody and sort of put them off. Encourage them as well, and that's what he's doing, yeah? So, and he says, offer it as a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord. Manoah didn't realise yet it was the angel of the Lord. Well, no, he didn't. He just thought it was a man of God. Right. He's going to find out. Right. He replied, then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, what is your name, so that we may honour you when your word comes true? Right. They might want to give the boy the name, part of the name, you know? Right? That's what they want. They want at least to say, well, Lord, thank you for so-and-so, that he came and brought a blessing, yeah? So he wants to know the name. That's good, eh? Right? Yeah. So, a good lesson for you as well, just to remind you, dear friends, I have to do this all the time. When you meet someone who's new, you ask them what their name is, and you try to remember. And then when you meet them the second time and you've forgotten, right? Just be honest and say, I'm sorry, I've forgotten. Can you tell me what it was again? Right? And when you do it the third time, they'll get to know you a bit funny, but it's all right. Okay? Yeah. Ask the name. Be honest. Right? So he says, what's your name, please? And then this is an amazing answer. He replied, why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding. What's he mean? It's wonderful, is what the translation, one of the translations says. That's the word for it, yeah? It's amazing, beyond understanding. Yeah, it's wonderful. What's he meaning?
You wouldn't know what
he's talking about. It's too big for you to get, yes. Jacob had the same problem. When he was wrestling with the angel, he's wrestling with the angel, and he says, I won't let you go and tell me what your name is. He says, I'm not telling you. But I'll bless you all the same, yeah? Right? And in Isaiah it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Yes? Yes? And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. It's not Wonderful Counselor. It's Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Yes? The name is Wonderful. Awe-inspiring, amazing, yes? He's giving them a clue. This isn't just any old prophet, you know. This is God standing in front of him, really. He's going to get the message in a minute.
He told him, he said, I am.
Yes, yeah. So, then Manoah took a young goat together with a grain offering. Hey, notice, he's doing the cooking. What is it? He took it and she got it to do. That's how it works as well, you know. Took a young goat together with a grain offering and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. So they made effectively an altar out of this rock. That's all it was, yeah? Just a piece of special stone and offered this thing on it there. They burnt it on there, right? Right, now then, interestingly, it says, and the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. Yeah. How about that? Do you know, God always does amazing things, yeah? But this is for them to be able to see how amazing God is, yeah? So what does he do? It says, as the flame blazed up from the altar towards heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So he steps on, effectively, onto the offering. Up he goes. How about that?
Wonderful.
That's space travel, isn't it? Yeah, amazing. What's that remind you of? It reminds me of the ascension of Jesus, to be honest. Yeah. Yeah? But basically it's, what he's saying is I'm accepting the sacrifice. He's associating himself with the sacrifice, and it's being offered up and taken up. Yeah. So, and he disappears. Wow. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Eh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone who's as solid as this, as large as life, next minute, gone. But that's what Jesus does at the resurrection, doesn't he?
Yeah.
One minute, they're talking to him, eating bread, and then gone. Next minute, they're in a room, all the doors are locked, and he's there. Yeah? And he says, come on, have a feel. Yeah? Real. Amazing. That's called God. Yeah? So, what happens is, as a result of that, Manoah has a panic. Right? What happens is, as the flame blazed up towards heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground.
Yeah, really.
Wow, they're awestruck, they're worshipping. Yeah, that's what they're doing, yes. They are humbled. Mm. Isn't it good to be humbled before God? We ought to be, yeah?
Mm.
Right. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. So he's gone, and they got their faces to the ground, and then after a while, perhaps they think, is he still there? Yeah. Have a look up. No, he's gone. He's gone. Yeah. So, when Manoah realizes he's gone, he realizes it was the angel of the Lord. Yes. And then he comes out with this wonderful statement, verse 22. We're doomed to die, he said to his wife. We're doomed. Can you hear the Scottish accent in that? We're doomed. We're doomed to die, he said. We've seen God. What's he on about?
Because have you seen the face?
That was one of their traditions, you could call it, thoughts, yeah. God said to Moses, can I see your face? God says, you can't see my face and live, I'll show you the back bit, right? And they picked up from that, if you saw God, that was it, you're finished, yeah. Well, that's what Manoah thought, yeah. We're finished, that's it, God, we've seen God, kaput, right. But his wife answered, what about this? His wife. She's the one with a bit of sense.
Yeah.
How about this, ladies? Got to admit, occasionally you have a bit more sense than we do. Yeah. Right. His wife answered, she said, if the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted the burnt offering and the grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, and now told us this. That's brilliant logic. She's saying is, if God was going to bump us off, why on earth would he tell us we're going to have a son and tell us what to do about it? And why on earth would he have accepted what we brought to him? In other words, God's on our side. He's not against us. He's for us. Yeah. Manoah. And we don't know the lady's wife, name. No, I wish I'd know her name. Be nice, yes. The woman, yeah. Just his wife. Right. But Mrs. Manoah is a good girl. Yes. Right. And so she comes up with this brilliant logic saying, look, God won't do that because he's made a promise. And isn't that wonderful? She's banking on the promises of God. That's what we're to do, brothers and sisters. When God's made a promise, hold on it, yes? Yeah, no matter what it looks like, hold on to it, yeah? So, the woman, verse 24, this is the end of the story, of this part anyway. It's a great story. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. How about that? That's two miracles. Yeah? Two miracles. Yeah? She gave birth.
No.
Full stop.
Yeah.
That's a miracle.
For
a sterile woman, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
She gave birth to a boy.
Yeah.
And the angel had said, you're going to have a boy.
Yeah.
It wasn't a guess. God knows. God knows. And it says, and the woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. Who named him Samson?
God.
Well, no, it doesn't say God gave the name there. She named him Samson. Now, I suspect they named him Samson, yes. But since she's had him, she calls him Sonny. I'm assuming Sonny is the right interpretation of his name. Right. What a blessing, eh? Yeah. That's good, eh? Right. And then it says, he grew and the Lord blessed him. How about that? Of course the Lord blessed him, because God's got a plan for him. Yeah. Of course, when God blesses, you've got choices, and we're going to see the choices that Samson makes aren't good ones, but God was blessing him. Eh? And it says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahanadan between Zorah and Eshtol. As he's growing up, God's Spirit's beginning to work in him. Right? How did the Spirit stir him? I don't know. It doesn't say it. But, yeah. He's beginning to feel some power inside him, I suspect, drawn to doing what God wants. Perhaps he's beginning to start thinking, God, this is bad what the Philistines are doing, maybe, or something like that. I don't know. But God's beginning to stir him up. It's good when the Spirit stirs you, because he's good at doing that.
I suppose his parents told him about this story.
Oh, I'm certain they would, yes.
That would
fire him a bit as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it's nice to know you're special, isn't it? Samson, you're really special. Well, I'm just going to say that, Joe. We are all special, yes. Every one of us is unique. That's a genetic fact. Every one of us is unique. And even twins, each one of them is unique, because not only are their genetics identical, but their experiences are different. So they're unique as well. Yeah. So everybody's a special person. So we'll have to leave it there. Samson's going.
Do you think, she said that he looked so awesome and everything.
Yeah.
And then Manoah went. I don't know if it was because he was hurrying and didn't notice so much, but he obviously didn't see the same awesomeness, it seems, that she saw. Because he says, when he counted the man, he said, "Are you the one who talked to my wife?" And then it says, "I am." Do you think there's any significance in that?
In the "I am" thing, I don't know. I'm not sure about that there, to be honest. I think the fact that she felt he was awesome is because he just read her heart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He said things about her that she hadn't told him.
I
suspect she had that sense that he is seeing inside me.
She said he looked like an angel of God, didn't he? Somehow.
Yeah, there's something about his appearance she picked up. Maybe she could see better than him. Yeah.
But sometimes
more discerning.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got to say this, lads. Sometimes the ladies are more spiritually discerning than we are to start with, you know. It's a terrible business being a fellow, isn't it, really? But well, keep trying. Let's do what we can.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
You're here to stay.
We're here to stay. Right. Okay. Well, let's just pray. We'll leave it at that and then see how the story goes downhill from now on, I'm afraid. Yeah. He breaks every single vow that his mum had made. Terrible, isn't it? But there we are. Yeah. And still, the sad thing, the wonderful thing is, God used him.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that? Doesn't matter how rubbish you are, God can still use you. Good news, that, I suppose, really. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for the faith and the love of this couple. Lord, I don't know the lady's name. She's not given a name in the Bible, Lord, but you knew her name because you knew her inside out, Lord. And we thank you for their love for each other and their faith in you. And their trust that you would bring to pass what they had longed for, I'm sure, for years and years and years. Lord, thank you. That prayers that are offered to you aren't wasted prayers, Lord. They may be answered in a different way, but Lord, you hear and you understand. And we want to say thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you were willing to meet this couple and speak to them and give them something really, really precious, Lord. Not just a child, Lord, but a revelation of you. Lord, they'd never be the same after having met with you. Lord, what a wonderful experience. So we thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. And pray, Lord, though we may not see the angel of the Lord, we know Jesus now. We thank you, Lord Jesus, you come into our lives by your Holy Spirit. May we begin to understand how wonderful you are. The name that we have now, Jesus, Lord, was not known to them, but it is to us. Call his name Jesus, the angel said. Yes, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.